Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 4, The Characteristics of Rishabhdev, Text 6.
If it's in prose, we just tell it, go right ahead.
Okay. The first line is different than the rest is. So I'll just chant the first line, and we can chant the four lines underneath. That's regular. Yashah pandaveya shloka vudaharanti. Konuta karma rajarsher. Nabir anvacharet puman. Apachyatama gajasya. Hari should dana karmana. Konuta karma rajarsher. Nabe anvacharet puman. Apatyatama gadyasya. Hari shuddhena karmana. Konuta karma rajarsher. Nabir anvacharet puman. Apachyatam agadhyasya. Hari should dana karmana. Vaishnavis. Yasya, of whom? Ha, indeed. Pandaveya, O Maharaj Parichit. Shloka, two verses. Udaharanti, recite. Ka, who? Nu, then. Tat, that. Karma, work. Raja Rishe, of the pious king. Nabhe, Nabi. Anu, following. Acharit, could execute. Puman, a man. Apachyatam, sonhood. Agat, accepted. Yasya, whose? Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shuddhena, pure, executed in devotional service.
Karmana,
by activities. Translation. O Maharaj, preach it. To glorify Maharaj Nabi, the old sages composed two verses. One of them is this. Who can attain the perfection of Maharaj Nabi? Who can attain his activities because of his devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, agreed to become his son? Purport. The words Shuddhena Karmana are significant in this verse. If work is not carried out in devotional service, it is contaminated by the modes of material nature. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Yajnata karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandana. Activities performed only for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord are pure and are not contaminated by the modes of material nature. All other activities are contaminated by the modes of ignorance and passion, as well as goodness. All material activities meant for satisfying the senses are contaminated, and Maharaj Nabi did not perform anything contaminated. He simply executed his transcendental activities even when performing yajna. Consequently, he obtained the Supreme Lord as his son. Translation again. O Maharaj Bridget, to glorify Maharaj Nabi, the old sages composed two verses. One of them is this. Who can attain the perfection of Maharaj Nabi? Who can attain his activities? Because of his devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead agreed to become his son. Om Gyana Chimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because of his devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead agreed to become his son. That means that Maharaj Nabi could do more service rather than to worship the Lord as his order supplier. Instead, Maharaj Nabi becomes the order supplier of the Supreme Lord. I've noticed in this country that young people, particularly many of them, the educated ones, are afraid of the predominant Western conception of God as an angry God who dominates, who punishes. I was speaking last month at Columbia University, and the devotee who manages the outreach programs there said that they're all, whether they're from Jewish background or Christian background, they all have this psychological rejection of this God who simply punishes sinners and gives the daily bread. They want to know something beyond that. And indeed, after I finished my presentation, one student asked, so you're speaking about bhakti. So how actually can we relate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that you're describing? The Lord is superior. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate controller. So, in terms of our thirst for relationships that you're speaking of, how can we relate to someone who's always 100% in control? Where's the love? So then I explained how at the pinnacle of bhakti yoga, when you achieve the trust of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord agrees to come under your control. The Parameshwara, the Supreme Controller, agrees to come under the control of his devotee. Not exactly under the control of the devotee, but under the control of the devotee's love. So much so that the Lord can become the son of his devotee. In the Western religious conception, people are glorifying the Son of God. But in bhakti, God becomes the son of his devotee and comes under the control of that devotee's love. When the student heard that, actually there was complete silence in a room of about 25 students. The student just paused for a second and said, "Wow, that's deep." Never heard or dreamed of such a thing. And suddenly, the whole skies opened up in terms of possibilities for relationship. Because who simply wants to relate to someone who's the ultimate controller and who's always enforcing laws? Who's always doing surveillance? Who's always punishing? Who's always judging? It's smart to accept that reality, but real spiritual development goes much further. I pointed out how in the Bible it is stated the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've said this a few times. That is true. But to expand your relationship possibilities, you have to go beyond the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but it's not the end of wisdom. The end of wisdom is rasa-tattva, as you read in Nectar of Devotion. How you can have an intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without understanding that possibility, you'll always be milking relationships, temporary relationships in the material world, the temporary material world, for all you can, consciously and unconsciously. Because there's no understanding of anything beyond that. And there's nothing you can do to stamp out of your heart that thirst for relationships. Now we see Maharaj Nabi. When he received Rishabhdev as his son, he was not thinking, this is the Supreme Personality of God. He was so affectionate toward his son. "Oh, my darling son," Shukadeva Goswami explains. His heart was always pouring out with affection for his son. Under the arrangement of Yogamaya. Because obviously, just like in the case of Nanda Maharaj, how are you going to be intimate if you know that your son is the ultimate controller? Ultimate control actually is for criminals. To simply be in a relationship with the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Controller means you've got something to fear. And it's true that fear is the beginning of spiritual life. You've got to respect the law and order. But someone who is a law-abiding, peaceful citizen has nothing to fear, relatively speaking, from the law enforcement, from the police, from the Supreme Controller. Therefore, their focus is completely different. They can focus on exchanges of love. Of course, there these days, the reality in Kali Yuga is that there are many countries in the world that the police behave worse than the criminals. Like in Bolivia, when I used to go there, people would say, "Whatever you do, don't call the police. If someone burglarizes your home, someone robs your home, and you call the police, they'll come and take whatever's left." I said, "Just don't call them." But ideally speaking, it's only criminals who have something to fear from law enforcement and control. But the control actually doesn't manifest for those who act in love. It doesn't relate to them. And Maharaj Nabi is demonstrating this. Here he is, a powerful king. Yet, by his governmental duties, he attracts the Supreme Lord as his son. He calls his son Rishabha, the best. But because of Nabi's love for his son, he doesn't acknowledge how supremely best his son is. Indeed, his son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rishabhdev attracted the attention of Indra because of Rishabhdev's qualities. It was obvious he's not an ordinary person. By his characteristics, by his physiology, by his character, everyone could tell this is not an ordinary living entity. Indra could also tell it too. But again, just like in the pastime of the lifting of Govardhan Hill, Indra became disturbed by all the acclaim that Rishabhdev was getting. So Indra did some climate change. He stopped the rainfall on Earth, thinking, well, this will put everyone in their place. Just like in the case of Vrindavan, when they declined to offer the Indra Puja, there Indra did the opposite. He sent too much rain, so much wind. He sent a storm that should only appear at the time of cosmic annihilation. In this case, with Maharaj Nabi and his son, Rishabhdev, Indra stopped the rain. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Anad Bhavati Bhutani, Parjanat Anasambhava. All living entities subsist on grains, and grains happen because of rain, and rain happens because of yajna. You look at the situation, not in the third world, but just look at the USA now. How many people realize that in 3 years, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has said in 3 years, 37 states of the U.S., what's that, there are 50 in total? 37 out of 50 will have water problems in 3 years. You would think that, well, this is third world stuff, water problems. Every, the figure for, the statistics for how much an American citizen averages in terms of water usage a day is like 100 gallons a day. So you just take it for granted. Water problems, that's the third world. Oh, sometimes you get a Katrina here and there that disrupts the party. But otherwise, things will always go on nicely. But in 3 years, 37 states will have water problems. All right. You can take your best scientific brains and try to come up with some alternative energy. But what's the alternative to water? Anybody in the vast New Dwarka congregation, are they researching alternative water? This is humiliating. Without water, what can you do? Yet, because people are so sinful, they are running out of water, they're misusing water, and besides their own misuse, the water can be withheld by the order of Daiva, the supreme authority. So Indra did just that. Climate change is nothing new in the Bhagavatam. In Vrindavan, Indra did some climate change. Too much rain, too much wind, even hail and chunks of ice, all out of season. Just because Indra was a bit upset. And in the case of Rishabhdev, Indra's doing the same thing. This person's too glorious. I'm envious of him. No more water on the Earth planet. And so what does Rishabhdev do, as you heard a few days ago, with his mystic potency? Because he's Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic power. With his mystic potency, he caused earth, he caused rain to come down wherever he wanted the rain to come. This shows you what is the perfection of yoga. There are so many different types of yoga powers. So Yogeshwara shows you that mastery over material nature is nothing for the real Yogeshwara, for the real master of yoga power. Whether there's rain or not rain. In the case of Govardhan Dari, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. He stopped the rain. In the case of Rishabhdev, he caused it to rain selectively wherever he wanted. This is all power, potency. Potencies are always displayed by persons. And in the case of Rishabhdev, in the case of Govardhan Dari, you're dealing with Lila Purushottam, the best of all persons, who has Leelas, who has pastimes. Sometimes when devotees read these accounts in Bhagavatam, they feel some kind of disconnect, like, oh, these were glorious times, Maharaj Nabi, Rishabhdev, but what about now? By reading these accounts in the Bhagavatam, we get lost in kind of like, oh, well, maybe like a fairy tale world, but then we have to deal with the real world of economic affairs, family affairs, paying bills and worrying about mortgages. Ultimately, you may start to think, what's the point in hearing about such glorious persons in the Bhagavatam? Your mind just gets agitated. Like, it's never going to be like that now. Okay, the first time you read it, you're curious. Wow. It's amazing how there can be personalities so extraordinary, how there can be government so extraordinary. But then after a while, you may make that adjustment, material adjustment, that, you know, it's not going to be like that now. There's just no way that we can even slightly approach such a standard. So why agitate your mind? Best just focus on struggling in this world as best as you can. Yes, we're not like the mundane people, because we know that there's something else. But that something else is so challenging, we can't think about it all the time. If we think about it all the time, we won't be able to relate to the world properly. We won't be able to discharge our ordinary duties. Especially amongst the young persons in India, this is a question always posed. Bhakti is so nice. Swamiji, we appreciate so much your presentation. And yes, our grandmother, when we were little, she read us Mahabharata. We appreciate all these things. But just one question. If we become too much into this bhakti, what will happen to our need to compete in the workplace? We'll lose our competitive edge because of too much bhakti. It's a very interesting conception. Too much Krishna consciousness can be hazardous for your career. Can be hazardous for your studies, because they imagine in their mind that you won't be able to swim with the sharks anymore. And swimming with the sharks is an essential ability, everyone feels, for living in today's world. You're surrounded by sharks. You didn't intend to be a shark, but what can you do? That's the way it is. So as he explained yesterday at the Sunday Feast Talk, because everyone else is a shark, you have to be one too. If you can't swim with the sharks, you'll never be able to hold your own in this competitive world. So there's this worry that if I immerse my consciousness too much in Bhagavatam, I'll lose my competitive edge. I'll become too much of a nice guy, and that'll be the end. I'll be living in utmost poverty simply with a Bhagavatam in my hand. Well, first of all, we have to understand what is real wealth. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, there are three great treasures in life. Krishna's devotees, and Krishna Seva, service to Krishna. These are the three great treasures in life. So, regardless of your situation, if you have those three treasures, you're the wealthiest person. But still, what about this worry that, yes, we know that those three treasures are the real wealth, but still we have to live in this world, and sometimes the world becomes so full of anxiety and so pressing. How can we focus on our spiritual development? By hearing Bhagavatam, You are able to see Krishna better in everything. That is the solution. By seeing Krishna better in everything, you're able to make better decisions. You cannot make proper decisions in your life if you see the energy as separate from the energetic source. It's as ridiculous as seeing the sunlight as separate from the sun. Even sometimes you may say, when the sunlight is streaming in your room, you may say, oh, there's light in this room. But implicit in your statement is that the light is coming from the sun. Sunlight. Similarly, energy means Krishna, the source of all energy. How can you make a proper decision in your life without acknowledging the source of all the energy? So in this way, bhakti is the utmost in practicality. It's just that there's this illusory energy that makes it seem that you are practical and competent forgetting Krishna and just grappling with the energy. But we're seeing now how baffled people are, how upset people are that what they're doing, the way they're living individually and collectively is not working. And where's the solution? We were speaking at the Festival Inspiration in New Vrindavan, how the best thinkers, what can they come up with now? We need to get people back into community spirit, back into spending time with their family relationships, back into taking walks in nature, the simple things. We've got to get people to do that instead of this rampant consumerism, which is choking up everything and making it impossible to live on the Earth planet. So who has the magic wand that you're going to wave over the billions of people on this earth? Say, okay, start enjoying living in communities again. Start enjoying family relationships again. Start enjoying walks in nature again. It sounds very good on paper, but how's it going to actually happen? What are the people? The people are blazing forest fires of material desires. That's the result of this great civilization. It has produced people who are literally ablaze with hankerings and desires. And suddenly you're going to shut all that down? Impossible. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita in Adi Lila how the Panchatattva had a practical solution for this blazing fire of material desire. No one wants to face this issue straight on, but the Panchatattva directly dealt with it in the most practical engineering way. The more the Panchatattva chanted and danced, the more the seed, the beej of material enjoyment becomes nullified. This is practical. Sometimes people have a hard time understanding. Simply by chanting and dancing, there's some practical effect in the world. But this is personalism. The Supreme Absolute Truth is personal. To take information from the Supreme Absolute Truth, how to live in this world, that's personal. So the Supreme Absolute Truth says, in this age, the Harinam Sankirtan, the spreading of Krishna's glories, that is what solves the core problem. First of all, you have to get people to understand what is the core problem. You say, oh, they should all spend more time with their families. They don't have families. More than 50% of the children in the USA grow up in single-parent homes. So suddenly you're going to wave a magic wand, take more time with your family. We are, in bhakti, dealing with the most practical lifestyle. We're coping with that seed, that beej of material enjoyment. How are you going to extinguish it? How are you going to nullify it? Who can answer that question? First, they have to recognize there's such a thing as a seed of material enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada writes so eloquently in a purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita how the beej, the seed of material enjoyment, becomes watered by material nature. In other words, karanam guna sangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. By your contact with material nature, it's not an innocent thing. You might think, oh, I'm just living my life, strolling here and there, doing what I have to do. I didn't make this world the way it is. I'm just trying to cope and take care of my loved ones, whoever my loved ones are at the moment. And what's wrong with that? But Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Karanam Gunasanga Sadasat Yoni Janmasu, by your so-called interaction with material nature, effects are produced, whether you know it or not. So the seed of material enjoyment is watered by your contact with material nature. And then what grows? The tree of entanglement. Very beautiful example. The tree of entanglement. You're embedded in material existence. You're lost in intricacies and complexities that you never could foresee. And that tree of entanglement gives rise to fruits of happiness and distress. So here you are entangled in that tree, tasting fruits of happiness and distress, and there's no vision beyond this scenario. There's nothing better. How to cope with that seed? How to get to the root of the problem? That is our Krishna conscious process. And our Krishna conscious process is expansionary. We were speaking more about this at the Festival Inspiration. We should not be ashamed, or we shouldn't unconsciously reject that Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is expansionary. Of course, expansion is done with intelligence, done with care. It's like the New Dwarka management is very famous for very careful, deliberate strategies and management so the whole ship doesn't capsize with rash plans. So, the more the Panchatattva danced, the more the seed of material nature, the seed of material enjoyment, that is, becomes nullified. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that the more the Krishna consciousness movement spreads throughout the world, the more you'll see a decrease in material enjoyment. So if we feel that we're not seeing that happen, it means we're not doing enough, because Lord Chaitanya has bequeathed to us a highly expansionary inheritance, the Krishna consciousness movement. And by its spreading, that nullifies the seed of material enjoyment. Nothing else works. So people are starting to come up against this wall. Like, what to do? You tell the people, stop consuming. Stop doing this, stop doing that. Another Just Say No campaign. It's like the teenagers used to joke when Nancy Reagan was pushing this Just Say No to Drugs campaign. The teenagers had their counter proposal, Just Say Yes. So how are you going to turn down a civilization that is so on fire with desire? People don't want to hear it. Even if they can hear it, what can they do? They can't control their senses. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, the embodied soul may try to restrain himself, control his senses, but it's impossible unless there's a higher taste. Our famous reply, Param Jisva Navartate, by tasting what is superior, you give up the inferior. So where's the superior taste that the government's distributing? There's nothing. Therefore, even if people can understand there's a problem, they can't do anything about it. There was a survey taken last year which showed that since 20 years ago, when talk about climate change first started to appear, the knowledge and awareness of the people about climate change and its dangers has shot up so high. People are much more aware now than they were 20 years ago. But now, the numbers of persons who want to do something about the problem of the environment and climate change hasn't changed at all. They all are much, much more aware than 20 years ago, but the number of people wanting to do something about it stays the same. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami says, Pashyan api na pashyati. Although you're sufficiently experienced, still you do not see. That is the power of Maya. You see, but actually you don't see. You think you're seeing. And you think you have life experience and maturity, but you're totally inexperienced because you actually don't know what's going on. You can't see what is the solution. So what is the use of your so-called seeing? Pashyanapi na pashyati. You see, but you don't see. You're sufficiently experienced, still you do not understand. This is the nature of the material energy. We're up against a superior force. The solution, how to handle that superior force. It's superior because by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, the superior energy, the living entity, has become under the control of the inferior energy. This can only be done by Krishna's arrangement. It shouldn't happen. But because of our desire, we've gotten into this trouble. That same Krishna, who has put us under the control of the illusory energy, can remedy the situation. This is the personalist solution. Just like Prabhupada writes in his prayers when he was about to land in America. My Lord, you've put them into Maya, and by your arrangement, you can bring them out of Maya. He also expressed his feelings that how will these people ever become Krishna conscious? It's like every day when a Sankirtan devotee goes out the door, he has to deal with that kind of that reality that is presented when you look all around you. How are these people ever going to be Krishna conscious? No problem, also. Had that preliminary vision, but then, of course, he took it further. I know that if they'll just hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, then that seed of material enjoyment in their hearts, which is causing so much havoc today, it'll be nullified and they'll change. So he was saying two things at the same time. How will these people ever become Krishna conscious? And it is completely possible. So that prayer that Srila Prabhupada wrote, Markene Bhagavad Dharma, is the heart of all of Srila Prabhupada's followers. He's showing you how to react to situations around you. How to be pragmatic. Yes, oh, the situation is so far gone. How can anyone living like this understand bhakti? But still I know it's possible. You are the supreme mystic. By your arrangement, they can come out of Maya. Because it's by your arrangement that an amazing thing has happened. The inferior energy has overwhelmed the superior energy. So that's inconceivable. Why can't another inconceivable thing happen? And the superior energy comes out from under the influence of the inferior energy. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada's appealing to Lord Krishna, I'm your puppet, make me dance as you like. This is our aspiration, to dance according to Krishna's direction as the humble servants of the Supreme Succession. Understanding that it's not an exaggeration to say the only way the seed of material enjoyment will be properly dealt with is through Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. This is our inheritance, expansion, so that the seed of material enjoyment that's troubling people and troubling the world becomes fried. When the seed is fried, it can't sprout. There's no tree of material entanglement. So this is our heritage. What can we do? Sometimes devotees, they become a little discouraged that we have all this highly expansionary philosophy, especially the Panchatattva, the flood of love of Krishna all over the world. And then we have our own practical individual problems. We have our practical institutional problems. It's like a dichotomy. On the one hand, this rampant expansionism, the flood of love of Krishna inundating the world. On the other hand, we have the practical problems of just coping and trying to survive in this world. That paradox can be solved just by action in Krishna consciousness. You can't see the solution with ordinary intelligence, but if you push on the work of the Panchatattva, you'll see the paradox is resolved. And that's the way that Srila Prabhupada demonstrated. He resolved that paradox between ordinary vision and the spiritual vision by acting. Let me humbly carry out the order of my guru, and then another reality will manifest. And we are the fortunate recipients of that other reality manifesting. Let us not be ashamed of our expansionary inheritance. Let's not feel uncomfortable about it. Let's use our intelligence in a cool-headed way. So many of our leaders are much more experienced now than in the 70s. So let's, with our cool-headed experience, expand the movement of Lord Chaitanya. And in that way, you'll see a decrease in material enjoyment in the world. Otherwise, no one has any idea how to do it. And we specialize in that. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes, Archita Prabhu.
Thank you for a wonderful presentation. A question arises in the section about Maharaj Nabi, because it seems in the beginning of the narration, it's saying that he's not pure. He has this desire to have a son, and it's not a pure desire. But then at this stage, he's being glorified as being, you know, because of his devotional service, the Lord appears as his son. It seems like two are not jiving properly there.
Seems like what?
These two visions of Maharaj Nabi don't seem to jive.
Well, I guess he made great spiritual advancement. And he retired from being king, even though he was so comfortable, set the great example of going to the forest, and then he went back to Godhead. Obviously, he's not an ordinary person for Lord Vrishabhdev to appear as his son. You see, the Bhagavatam is so exalted, and the standard of pure bhakti is so exalted that it can present different permutations of purity, and it can point out even the slightest nuance that is not 100% for Krishna's pleasure. But we shouldn't blow those nuances way out of proportion. It's just what is a Bhagavatam? Amala Puranam. It's a spotless Purana. So it can, the Bhagavatam can pick a hair off of a cow 10 miles away. It's so luminous and precise in its analysis. But we shouldn't lose sight of the forest because of the tree. So just for our sake, it's pointing out, well, Nabi, he wanted a son. But obviously because of his devotion, the Supreme Personality of Godhead became his son. And Maharaj Nabi goes back to Godhead. So the Bhagavatam is not holding a slight nuance that's not completely perfect. It's not holding that against Nabi. And Nabi's obviously continuing to make spiritual advancement. He goes back to Godhead. Hopefully, we'll all do the same. Anything else? All glory to Srila Prabhupada.